Following audio presentation is from Forum Christian Church in Columbia, Missouri. For more audio and video sermons, and for more information, visit us on the web at forumchristian.org.
Great to see you guys with us here this morning. My name is Bradley. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. So glad that you've joined us. Today we're going to finish up our series entitled Trending. And the big idea, what we've been looking at over the past few weeks, is really looking at the current cultural trends and then looking to see what does God have to say about that? Is there any difference, any similarity? What's the contrast between what we see going on in our world today and what we know God is calling us to? And I think it's a divine providential irony that about a year ago, Scott put together this sermon series where we'd be talking about marriage, sex, and money, and you look into our culture today and you see those aren't just trending topics, those are the three most popular and talked about topics in our culture today. We would have never been able to guess that our country would be experiencing a tidal change in regards to how our country and how our culture views marriage. And so we looked at what's going on in our culture versus what God has to say. And you know, I think in the final analysis, we're the ones who are left to make a choice, to make a decision on a daily basis. Am I going to make choices and decisions today to follow after the current cultural trends? Or is my life going to be defined by my faith? Is my life going to be defined by what God is calling me to do? And we looked at this idea last week as we talked about sexuality and how we're experiencing a huge shift in our culture and the mentality that says your identity is found in your sexuality, that it's a choice that you can make. That's a change that's occurring around us. And we sort of looked at, you know, what does God have to say about that? How does God look and view sexuality? And we saw a huge contrast between what's going on in the world and what God is calling us to. And I think, again, we're just sort of left at the end of the day. Are the choices and decisions that I'm making today reflective of the culture? Or are they reflecting a faith in this divine creator who's calling us to something else? And today we're gonna finish out talking about money. And not just money, but the stuff that money buys. And you don't have to spend 5 seconds looking into our culture to see how, again, it finds and says your identity and mine is really wrapped up in the stuff that I have, the stuff that I'm trying to get, or the job that I have that allows me to have that kind of stuff. I mean, we've actually come up with a name for it. We call it the American Dream. Everybody in this room has been inundated from the time you were born with this idea that you were created in order to consume. That to be successful, you need to go to school, go to college, get a good job, provide for your family, get more stuff, hopefully amass enough wealth so that at some point in your life you can stop working, live off of the money that you've made, and then die. Like that doesn't seem very attractive to me. But you know what I find myself doing on a daily basis? Making choices and decisions that are more reflective of that ideal than what I know God is calling me to. And I think this idea is so relevant for our life today. And so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to kind of come back to that question over and over again, because I think it's a daily thing. And listen, if you are new to this church, or you are checking us out for the first time, and maybe you've come from a church background that wasn't the healthiest, or you've been burned by church, or you're not so sure about this Jesus church and God stuff, listen, we believe and we teach that following Jesus isn't just a one-time decision. It's something that we live out on a daily basis. And I think what happens so often is that somebody who made a decision for Jesus once in their life, they're not necessarily living that out anymore. And then people begin to define Christianity by that standard, and I'm just saying that's not necessarily the case. Following Jesus is something we do every day. The decision to follow after the culture or to follow after God, it's not a one-time decision. It's something we're doing right now. Today we have an opportunity to make a choice and a decision to either follow after the culture and its trends or after the things of God. So we're just going to come back to that question over and over again. And we'll spend a little bit of time looking at the world and its trends, and most of our time looking at what Jesus had to say about this particular issue, because I think every single person in this room is affected by money and the stuff that money buys. So we're going to go into Matthew chapter 6. I would love it if you would go there with me. If you are using your phone or a tablet and you can choose your translation, I'm going to be in the NIV this morning. If you don't have a Bible, we have them in the seats in front of you. Feel free to take that. If you don't have a Bible, that's our gift to you. Or if you know somebody who doesn't have a Bible, will you take that one and give it to them? So important to get the Word of God out there. I would love to come in here on Monday morning and there be no Bibles in this church. That would be weird, but I would love that because that means they've all gone out. We'll put some back in their place for next week, don't worry. Matthew chapter 6. This is the largest teaching block in the New Testament in regards to Jesus. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Revolutionary. Some of the most profound ideas found in all of the Bible are located in just these few chapters. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, just reorients people back to the heart of God and says, you've kind of been missing it, and it's really more about this, and it's not about that. And he sort of does this on a lot of trending topics of the day. And so really, it's no surprise that he talks about money and the stuff that money buys, Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to go straight into verse 24. We're going to jump right into this idea because Jesus confronts the big idea for this morning right off the bat in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 6 when he says, listen, you can't serve two masters. You're going to either hate the one and love the other one. You're going to be devoted to one, despise the other. There's that contrast there. Because you cannot serve both God and money. Now, the last word in this verse, money. How many of you in your Bibles that word is capitalized? We've got a few of those. Okay. You know why they do that is because this is being personified. The contrast that Jesus is making is the contrast between the true living God and the God of Mammon. Mammon is the Aramaic word that's used here and then translated as money. Mammon is a word in the ancient cultures that meant the money and the stuff that money buys. It's material possessions. Maybe we would think of it as this is our assets. It includes money, but it includes a lot of other things that we have our money tied up in. And in this narrative, Jesus puts those two things as diametrically opposed from one another. Now, if that doesn't just take the wind out of you, let me help you understand the profundity of this statement, because I believe every single person in this room has been told, rather covertly, that you can actually serve both God and money, that you can serve mammon, you can serve wealth, you can serve yourself and believe in whatever you want to, and the two things don't actually touch. We separate them out, we compartmentalize them and say they don't really have anything to do with each other. And Jesus says, that's right, because you can't serve one and the other. And we're thinking, I don't know if that's necessarily true. And you know, here's how we're going to do this, because he's going to expound upon this idea. But I wanted to get into it right here in verse 24, because I think this is the part that confronts us with the true issue that's going on in our culture today, which has made life, this American dream, this plastic veneer of existence, about stuff. And if you don't believe me, think about just for one second how you define success. And I guarantee you, for most of us in this room, it has little to do with God. That to be successful in this culture today, it's about the place that you went to school. It's about the job that you have. It's about your degrees. It's about the car that you have. It's about the house that you live in, the neighborhood that you're in, the school that your kids go to, and on and on and on. Isn't that how we define success? I have one person who agrees with me, and that's really all that I need. Now listen, I hear this all the time. Okay, so let's just imagine you're in a socially awkward position and you're talking to somebody you don't really know. What's the first thing you always ask? So what do you do? Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I do this. Oh, that's great. Little Susie starting kindergarten. What school? Oh, where do you guys live? Oh, that's a great school. That's a great subdivision. Oh, that's fantastic. And then when they go to get in their car, aren't we kind of looking to see? Right? Isn't this how we sum each other up? Isn't this how, let's just be honest here. Like, isn't this how we define success? And Jesus just draws a line and says, that's not success. He sees it a different way. And if you were to look back over your life, like you take a snapshot, you just press pause on life, and you look back over your existence, what has 98% of your life been spent doing? Chasing after ourselves, building up this little kingdom on this earth. Now listen, I know you're just like me. We've been bought and sold this lie. It's inherent in our academic systems. It's inherent in our economic systems and in the political machine that's already starting up again. It surrounds us. That's the culture we live in. That's the trend. Here's what success is. You can go and make it all about you and about your careers and about your jobs and acquiring stuff. That's stuff that actually doesn't have any value in it, but that's where you find your identity. That's what the current culture says. And Jesus very clearly says, don't think for one second you're serving God by doing that. You can't. How many people can do it? Nobody can do it. You can't do it. And I think most of us in this room, we believe we can. Now listen, I have challenged every service. If you think you can do both, because here's what happens. When I read this verse, I start to justify in my mind why 98% of my life is about me. And then I use that 2% to justify why it's really serving God. And I say things like this, well, I'm just, you know, God wants me to provide for my family. So that's why I'm so driven to be successful. And I think that if you press pause for a second and took a hard look at what God asks you to actually provide for your family, a part of it is food, shelter, and clothing. Absolutely. I think we should be the hardest working people in the world because we follow Jesus. And we should be providing for our family, but how are we doing providing for them spiritually? How are we providing for our family members in terms of what good relationships look like? Suddenly, we've defined provision as just money and stuff, but in reality, your family doesn't need half of the junk that we have, right? We don't need that. You know what we need? We need love. That's what we're all really looking for. Acceptance and love, and that we're trying to fill those holes with stuff, realizing it doesn't actually work. And Jesus is like, I know, that doesn't, it will never work. And so he just exposes this idea wide open. And we're going to walk through just a couple more verses this morning that expound on this idea. But this just challenges us to take a step back and go, what decisions and choices am I making today? What is it reflecting? Is it reflecting the current cultural trends, which says it's all about me and building up my little kingdom and it's all about getting ahead and finding my identity in this stuff? Like, is that what we're really doing? Because I think for most of us it is. I've spent most of my life doing that and calling it something else. Or are the choices and decisions we're making today going to be reflective of our faith? And that's the question. We're going to come back to that over and over again. So here's what we're going to do. We confronted the issue in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Now let's go back to the beginning of this teaching, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. It's a command. Do not do it. And he points to the temporal nature of our stuff and even our life. Listen, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, there's a temporary nature to things and to stuff. And I think, are we actually calling Jesus a liar by the decisions and the choices we make in our daily life? We're going, I don't know if I believe that. This is one of the most challenging teachings because it confronts our Western 21st century culture that is built upon an economy of stuff. 70% of the market is because of us spending money. And I think, at what point did we stop believing what he said? At what point did we start rationalizing why it's okay to make life about us and about our goals and ambitions and about spending? Think about just how much time and energy you spent making money and spending stuff and maintaining the stuff you spent your money on. Like, isn't that dominate our existence? And I think Jesus is like, I don't want you to do that. That's empty and it's vain and it's wildly destructive. I mean, I think this is so relevant for our culture today. You know that back in 1950, the average square footage in a home in this country was 900 square feet. And you can look back at homes built in the 50s and you can see it. There's some in this town right now. And you know what we do when we buy them? We add on to them. We attach the garage and we add two more. You know what the average size of a home built in 2015 is? It's 2,400 square feet. It's almost triple what it used to be. Now, you would think, boy, we must have a lot of stuff. You know what the fastest growing segment in commercial realty for the past 40 years? Storage facilities. It's a $24 billion industry. You know what we do? We buy bigger houses, we buy more stuff, we run out of room, and we go store it somewhere else, and we pay somebody to do it. And you know what? This is crazy to me. Now we're making TV shows about it. Because now they didn't pay the rent on their storage facility. Now other people are like, I'll buy that. I'm going to buy that. No, I'm going to buy that. And they turn into a dramatized reality show. That's our culture. You know, the average home has 300,000 items inside of it. Okay, you will never convince me that our country does not propagate this mentality. You know what? Everything you're going to go and see in a store is going to have a sticker on it that says new. Even if it's like a product that's been around for 20 years, like a light bulb, new. Look, we're reinventing everything because we know, because they know what we do. We see that and we're like, oh, that's shiny. I need that. Oh, there's something else that's shiny. Isn't that what, I mean, have you ever just like taken a step back when you're at the grocery store or at the mall? Have you ever like watched humanity? We're just like this, oh. I'll buy that. We walk around with big bags of stuff. You know the average American discards 65 pounds of clothing a year? It's an epidemic. We're so caught up in it, we don't even know it's happening. We just think it's life. We actually call it just a day-to-day life. And what I think is happening is Jesus is confronting that and going, that's not life, man. That's not why I created you. This culture is just beating into our minds. The reason why you're here is to work, is to produce in order to consume. And you know what happened a few years ago when things in the stock market didn't turn out so well? We stopped spending our money. You know what happened? Bad things happened. And a bunch of companies started going belly up. And suddenly we got to find relief. We're too big. If we fail, this economy is going to take a nosedive. So let's start borrowing money all over the place. Don't tell me our culture isn't in a horrible, diseased state. And we're believing it. I can't come into these passages and go, what have I been doing with my life? Are the choices and decisions that I've been making actually more reflective of the trends in the culture? You bet it is. I wouldn't be honest up here right now if I didn't say that. And I'm saying, when you look into your life, what do you see? And Jesus says, don't do it. It's so temporary. I couldn't help but think about this yesterday when we were out running errands and we drove by this garage sale in our neighborhood. And I just looked at, and I just saw this stuff, and I just couldn't help but think, that's exactly what he's talking about. That stuff that we wanted so bad, we researched for 3 hours, and we listened to look at all these reviews, and we're like, okay, finally picked that product, and now we got it, and then we spent all this time maintaining it and keeping it new just for 5 years to be sitting at the edge of our driveway with a dollar sticker on it. You know what's even more shocking is that when I came back home, the garage sale was over, the garage door was closed, there were no cars lining the street. You know what they did with the stuff that they couldn't sell? Sitting on the edge of the curb ready to be picked up for the trash. I mean, is the teaching of Jesus any more relevant? He's saying, look, don't make your life about that. That can't be what life is about. That doesn't make any sense. And yet, isn't that what we believe? And we may say we don't believe it, right? We're like super awesome Christians and we would never do that. But look, go into your bank account and look. What do we spend our money on? What do we invest our time in? Time, energy, and money. What are they invested into? And Jesus is like, I don't think he's coming at this from like this position of condemnation. I think his heart is breaking and saying, I didn't create you to live your life for your own little kingdom. To get a bunch of stuff that's just going to end up in the trash. Now, I'm thankful. One of the most basic ways to interpret the scriptures is to let scripture interpret scripture. We say that all the time, scripture interprets scripture. So we come across these passages like this that are really difficult. And a really good practice to get in the habit of like going, just asking basic questions like, what is he talking about? What's so bad about storing up for yourself treasures on earth? Okay, Jesus tells me that, you know, it's kind of vain and plastic and it's empty. It doesn't actually last. There's no eternal significance. But is there anywhere else in the Bible that addresses this issue? There's like over 2,000 verses in the Bible that talk about money. Okay, it's a very prevalent topic in the scriptures because it's always going to be a prevalent topic in our world. And so God addresses it. And there are some fantastic principles in the scriptures for dealing with money. And I'm just going to go into one passage this morning that's a supporting text because there's this early follower of Jesus by the name of Paul. And he really expounds upon this teaching. He puts some different perspective on it, but it really just is reiterating the same thing. And that's over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to go there real quick. I'll put it up on the screen so you don't have to flip back and forth there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And he talks about this desire for stuff, for money and the stuff that money buys. And he says, you know, those who want to get rich, those who make their life about this pursuit for things, they fall into temptation. It's a trap. And into many foolish and harmful desires. Like, listen, it will plunge, it will drive people into ruin and destruction. Now, as much as the culture is telling us that life is defined by your things, we also see plenty of headlines about people who their things have destroyed them. We see these headlines all the time. It's like, but I don't understand why we don't get it. We see the contrast. We see that money and fame and wealth don't buy you happiness. We know that. We talk about it. But in reality, when it comes down to our day-to-day choices and decisions, aren't we actually supporting the trends in the culture? Aren't we actually showing our kids and the world around us that we're really no different? That we're actually just the same. That our desire for more is the same as anybody. And yet the scriptures teach something so different. They actually tell us to chase after the current cultural trend will destroy you. And I find this, it's incredible duality that exists. It's like you turn on the TV and it's like, your hair looks horrible. You should buy this product and you'll look like a supermodel. Your life, you don't have any friends. You know what? you should drink this beer and you're going to have super beautiful friends and you're going to have a party all the time. You know what? And we're like, that's dumb. Don't we kind of think that though? If I just have this thing, if I just drive that car, if I live in that neighborhood, if I just have a little bit bigger house, if I just have a couple more things, then people will identify me as being successful. That's all they're selling us. Their marketing is built upon your inabilities and your own self-deprecation and your own desire to be more. And instead of giving you something that can actually help you, like the gospel, they're trying to sell you a product. And you know what it does? It just leads to destruction. Your value, the quality of your life is not wrapped up in your things. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 12. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your things. And we may pay lip service to that idea, but I'm saying like on a daily basis, like today, are the choices and decisions we make reflecting that? Or are they reflecting what the culture is telling us? Now, he says, this is that famous verse. This is where it comes out of 1 Timothy chapter 6. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Like the desire for more, the desire to find your identity in your stuff is like a root system that's so toxic that it breeds all kinds of evil. And yet, you know what we call that? We call it life. We have utterly deceived ourselves. We have a culture ramming it down our throats. And then we wonder why we listen to the clear teachings of Jesus and we go, yeah, I don't know about all that. And I'm saying this comes down to a daily decision that we make. Following Jesus isn't something you did in the past. It's something you're doing right now. And you could tell me all day long that materialism, the god of money and the stuff that money buys will destroy you. And I'll be like, yeah, that's awesome. But what are the choices that I'm making today say? Because that's what's actually going on. And he says, you know what? Some people eager for money have actually wandered from the faith and are piercing themselves with many griefs, self-inflicted wounds. And I think how many of us in here today have been living that life? I'm with you, right? I'm thinking back and going, how many years of my life have been utterly spent on myself and on my kingdom, on building up this little thing, on finding my identity in stuff and what I drive and the house that I live in and all this junk? You know, one of the easiest ways to determine where your heart is, and Jesus is going to say this in just a few verses, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, this is the hard part because we can easily identify where our treasure is by how we judge other people. It's very simple. So how do you sum up other people? Like when you meet somebody, how are you gauging them? I mean, like as they're walking up to you, isn't it by what they're dressed, their appearance, their size and their shape, the car that they stepped out of, the conversation you're going to have about the work that they do? Isn't that how we judge people? Like honestly, isn't that how we judge people? I was downtown getting coffee the other day. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. It was a beautiful morning, and I love to go get coffee at this one particular coffee shop, and I'm walking up 9th Street, and this guy pulls up in this car that is beautiful. I mean, it's like one of the, a marvel of human ingenuity, and it's, my kind of favorite cars are all blacked out. Like there's not a spot of chrome. Everything has a matte finish. Tinted windows, big 20-inch black rims. This thing looked like a monster. And the first thing I thought was like, man, that's a $70,000 ride. And I'm looking, I'm just like, man, he's got sports suspension. Look at that. That guy's got like sport calipers and painted brake pads. Man, that guy's car is awesome. And I'm just kind of walking by like, nice. Then he steps out of the car, and I didn't know how to respond. He's like 5'10", built like this, in a track suit, covered from head, literally from this part of his body, all the way down in tattoos. You know what I thought? This is how horrible of a person I am. You know what I thought? I wonder what he sells. Because it's probably not legal. Like, I've really had that thought, and I'm just kind of like, what's wrong with me? Listen, you may think you're like a super Christian, but in those moments, are you actually going, oh, it's a child of God. Oh, hi, good morning. We don't talk. None of us do that. We're like, oh, we're like turn away and walk the other direction. He's scary. But seriously, that was last week. Like, I think, like, you know what that says? That says right where my heart is. I was judging instant. It was like process. It was like reflexive. How many of us do that all the time, and we think it's normal? And it's not. It's not normal. And it's not right. And God is calling us to something else. You don't have to live that way. And actually, if you do actually go the direction of the world, it's going to destroy you. That kind of thinking is like a pollution. It's like a toxin. You know what he said just one verse earlier? He said, man, it's evil. Now, come back with me to verse 20. Because I don't think Jesus is in this conversation with these people going, oh, you're all a bunch of sinners and you're going to burn in hell. He says, you know, here's what's going on. Here's the problem. Here's the issue. I don't want this for you. Instead of that, go this way. And I think, you know, it's the same message today. Like, you could have made multiple horrible decisions throughout your life. You could have made a horrible decision on the way here this morning, but that doesn't have to be your afternoon. And everything in your life could have been about you up until this moment right now, until you hear the clear teaching of Jesus and you hear him saying to you, you don't have to live that way. And I'm not going to condemn you for the life that you lived. I'm going to set you free to live a brand new life, one you can't even imagine right now. And here's the promise. Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth, but instead, live a kind of life that matters. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust, where thieves, they can't get to it. It's eternal. And there's this contrast again between what the world is selling us, which is temporary, which sits on the side of curbs and trash bags at some point in our life, versus what God is saying to us. Don't invest your time, energy, money that things are just going to erode and be destroyed. Invest into something that will last forever. Now, I think most of us in here today would be like, right on, man. I want to do that. But how many of us in here today, like if I were to just sit down and talk to you and go, how do you do it? How do you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven? Like, if that's the clear teaching of Jesus, he says, you can't do both. You can't lay up for your treasures over here and over here. You can only do one. Which are you going to do? I'm going to go the route of Jesus. Okay, how do you do it? Because that's the hard part. That's the decision you're going to make today. And I'm thankful. Scripture interprets Scripture. And I'm thankful that Paul in 1 Timothy expounds on this idea too. He's going to tell us nobody's going to be able to walk out of here today without knowing exactly what God is calling us to do with our stuff. How do you serve God instead of serving money? How do you live in a culture that builds up this American dream, this false idol? How do you live in that culture but not be of that culture? How do you do that? Because we're going to find out. And it's going to challenge us today. And I hope and pray that you get to that point of making that choice and decision, and you're actually thinking about it now, going, this is one of those moments where I can go that way or this way, and I don't want to go that way anymore because that's destructive. 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 17, he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Don't go the way of the world. Don't put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Did anybody watch the stock market last week? You know what I'm talking about. It's uncertain. And if your identity and your value is wrapped up in the stock market, trust me, it's going to go up and it's going to be down. And if your happiness is based upon the fluctuations in the market, trust me, brothers and sisters, that's not happiness. That's not the kind of life that God is calling us to live. That's a life of uncertainty. And he says, you know, put your hope in God. He's expounding on that idea. And he plays on these words, rich, and it's going to come out in verse 18 too. Commands those who are rich in this present world to put their hope in God, who so richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. This is actually one of those verses when we're teaching people how to look at things through the lens of godly finance. This is one of those key verses. Understanding everything that you have is actually a blessing from God. And I know we would go through this verse and I can see your faces. You're like, oh, rich in this present world? That's not me. I don't have to worry about any of this stuff. But listen, if you made over $25,000 last year, you're in the top 10% of the world's richest people. $25,000 a year, top 10%. Do you know that over half the kids in this world are going to go to bed hungry tonight? Do you know there's still 1 billion people on this planet who do not have access to clean drinking water? We're rich. We spent over $1 trillion last year on non-essential goods. Not food, shelter, or clothing, just stuff. How many of you today drove here in a vehicle that is determined how fast it goes by the number of horses it has in it? Horsepower. And you could turn a dial and change the temperature that blows through these vents right onto you. Just like instant comfort. And you can tune a station depending on your preference on how you want to be entertained. We're rich. How many of you in your homes right now can walk up to the wall and turn this little dial or press a little button and you can change the climate in the home that you live? We live better than the kings of old. How many of us have these big metal boxes in our houses that you open it up, a light comes on, and our food is being chilled to a particular temperature that we determine. And we're like, oh, that's fresh. I love that. How many of you can open the other side and it's frozen solid so that we can keep it for a long time? Like, how many of you have an extra freezer in your house just to put more stuff? You know what I'm saying? We're rich. How many of you today after lunch, after service, are going to go to lunch and you're going to make your choice based upon a region of the world? Well, you know, in the mood for Mexican? No, I had Mexican yesterday. How about Italian? Nah, I'm not really feeling Italian. Oh, well, you know, how about Chinese? How about Thai food? I mean, think about it. We can go to a grocery store right now and pick anything we want from across the world. We can have fruit that's not in season where we live. We can eat vegetables that you couldn't grow at this time of year. You know, we are rich. We're richer than anybody sitting in the crowd listening to this 2,000 years ago. So nobody's exempt from this passage. Okay, he's talking about us. So it's about our perspective. It's about where we lie our hope and what happens when we put our hope and our trust in God. We understand everything comes from him. It changes how we think. It changes how we make decisions. Watch what he says. This is not, listen, remember, all we're talking about is how do we lay up treasures in heaven? How do we do it? Perspective, attitude, okay? Command them to do good. This is how we live our life. So we have this perspective that everything comes from God. We put our hope and trust in him. That starts coming out of our life in how we act towards the world and doing good. He plays on that word rich again, being rich in good deeds, not rich in our bank account, not rich in the car that we drive or the house that we have or the neighborhood we live in, rich in how we live our life towards other people. And to be generous and willing to share it. This is how we are to live our life, even though we live in a culture that says, keep it all for yourself. If you were to check the Center for Charitable Contributions today, you would find out that 1 out of every 10 people gives to a charitable contribution. That includes religious organizations. And you may be thinking, oh, that's pretty good, I guess. I guess that's a lot. But of those people that give to charitable contributions, how much of their annual income do they give? It's less than 2%. You'll never convince me that we do not live in a day and age that calls Jesus a liar, that those who profess to be Jesus followers in regards to their money and stuff are still calling him a liar, because what we're told to do, the clear command in Scripture, is to live like this. And this kind of stuff like upsets me. Like, I don't like these teachings because it disrupts my daily life. Watch what he says here in verse 19. In this way, this is how you lay up treasure as a firm foundation for the coming age. You know what he just said? Exactly what Jesus said. This is how you lay up treasure in heaven. This is how you do it. It's not an amassing wealth for yourself. It's not about building your own kingdom. It's about being generous towards others. See, the world will tell you that you're here to produce in order to consume. But according to what God says, you're here to produce in order to provide. Provide for your family, provide for your friends, provide for those who don't have, those who are hungry. Being generous and willing to share. One of my favorite preachers, he says it like this: I don't buy anything if I'm not willing to give it away. Now think about that decision. If we were to make that decision today, I'm just going to follow that rule. I'm not going to buy anything if I wouldn't be able to hold it in my hand like this and give it to anybody who needs it. Because if I can't say that, I have no business buying it because I'm just going to build my own little kingdom here on earth. Are we the kind of people who have that kind of courage to say, I don't want to follow the way of the world? I do want to follow what the things of God say. I do want to listen to the teachings of Jesus and obey them and live that kind of life. Because I think there is an incredible amount of hope for us today to say, you know what, I don't want to live that life. And I want to leave you with this haunting thought that I can't shake from my head, so I hope it haunts you too. Have you ever like been in contact with someone, talked to somebody or seen something or been given an offer to help somebody else? Whether it was an organization or a person that really needed it, but you couldn't? Because of a bad decision you made 6 years ago, 6 months ago, 6 days ago, or 6 hours ago. You know what Jesus is offering you today? Today you can make a decision and a choice that can impact this world for eternity in just 6 hours from now. You can make a decision and a choice today that can change this world for the better, and it's going to happen in just 6 weeks. You can make a choice today that's going to have an impact on somebody 6 months from now, 6 years from now, 60 years from now. Let's be those kind of people that make choices and decisions today that say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I ain't following the world. Let's be the kind of people that hear of an opportunity to give and to share, and we can because we've been following Jesus every single day, just not once, not like, hey, I'm just going to follow Jesus, and then we don't actually do it every day. Let's be those kind of people. Let's be so generous and willing to share that we're like this New Testament church that was willing to share and was giving, and they saw somebody in need and they wouldn't help. Let's not be the kind of people just hold on to our stuff just to put it in a garage sale, just to put it in the trash. Let's like invest in eternity. Today, we have that choice.
To watch, listen, or download this sermon and much more, go to formchristian.org or download the Form Christian Church app at the Apple Store or for Android at the Google Play Store. Form Christian Church exists to intentionally connect people to Jesus.